The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Shall we try that again? Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen and alleluia. We are here this morning because we have new life. Because of this event. And we've been incorporated into that new life through the grace of baptism. We're going to celebrate that baptism for one of our members this morning. But each of us will renew our own baptismal promises, where we turn away from sin and believe in the gospel and follow the one who gives us life immortal. None of us want to think about death, right? No thanks. Although we're all dying to get into heaven. Right? Who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand, please. Well, there's only one way to get there. Unless you're going to be taken up in a whirlwind like Elijah. Since that's probably already been done, we're all going to have to die to rise. And I'd suggest we have lots of little deaths and great resurrections throughout our life. We have times of deep sadness that are replaced with joy. We have times of suffering that transform and allow us to grow and become even stronger. Why can we do this? Because Jesus has gone ahead of us and done it before us. Think about that. Jesus, the one who created the world, died a horrible death. And you can imagine the trauma that his disciples felt. Not only the trauma of the death, but then the trauma of the empty tomb. They're like, "Hey, well, come on. Not bad enough that they killed him. Now his body's missing." How depressing would that be? How many of us visit our loved ones at their places of internment? Right? We go. When I make a pilgrimage back to Davenport, I want to see the graves of my forefathers. And somehow, standing there with them makes that connection. That's what drew Mary to the tomb that morning. She wanted that connection even in death. But she would get something even better. She would get to see the risen Lord. I know it's not on the page today, but it's just a few verses down, right? After all this running, little foot race to the tomb. Anybody have their foot race this morning? It should be part of your resurrection morning. Run to the empty tomb and find out, in fact, that it is empty and no longer needed. And I'd suggest those deep pains in our life are also no longer needed. Don't raise your hands, right? Anyone still holding on to a deep pain? Yeah. Jesus wants that to be empty of its power over you. Think of how courageous Mary was when she went to the tomb. Not only did she want a connection, but she also had this sense, along with the other women, they were carrying spices and herbs and oils and cloths. They were going to clean up the body and give it a proper burial. Now, why is that courageous? One, the guards were trying to keep them away. And two, there's a stone that weighs like four times as much as they do sitting in front of the tomb. These were some tough women. They were going to go and move that stone. Nothing was going to separate them from caring for Jesus. What lengths are we willing to go to get close to Jesus? In prayer, in study, in participation in the liturgy, what lengths are we willing to go to get close to Jesus? I think Mary and her companions could witness to us all. One, that stone, that heavy weight that seems to separate us from God, is gone. Right? God took care of it. In the reading we heard last night, an angel moved the stone and sat there in dazzling light, like lightning, and then said, "Don't be afraid." Anytime I see someone dazzling like lightning, I call a power company. Because there's something very wrong, right? But God has freed us from any separation. So there's no work to do other than run to the tomb, right? Go to those places of meeting. If you found Christ somewhere, go there again. He's likely to be there. Or he's likely to find you there. We're going to hear through the rest of the resurrection season all the other resurrection stories in all the other gospels between now and Pentecost. And it's going to be marvelous. Each one of them a little different. Each one of them drawing us deeper and deeper into the mystery of who this resurrected Lord is. Because Jesus' resurrection allows us to be better than we can without him. Think of all of that pain, all of that suffering, all of that sin, and then think of Jesus taking it from you. That's what happens on Easter morning. Jesus takes everything that is broken and makes it new, even better than new. Right? Jesus' resurrected body, although still having the scars of the crucifixion, can now be everywhere all at once, pass through walls, give greetings to people in two different cities at the same time. I'm looking forward to some of that, right? No more riding the ferry at 2 in the morning to go to Wrangell. I'll just be in both places at the same time. Watch out. That's the promise of the resurrection, that we can be everywhere God is, and that anything that's broken in us is transformed. Enter deeply into that resurrection. We're going to witness the process that incorporates us into the body of Christ as we see Jacob's baptism this morning. And then we're going to come forward and feast on Jesus, right? He gives us his very self as food that we might be set free. Right? The Eucharist isn't some kind of award for good behavior. Right? Think of who ate it with him. Peter, who would deny him and return, and Judas, who would deny him and not return. All were at the table. Jesus desires everyone to feast on him and be set free. We gather Sunday after Sunday for the Eucharist because it changes us. St. John Chrysostom talks about the divine life. When we drink from the cup It's Jesus' blood that courses through us. Anyone want some of that? You know, when I'm feeling deflated and have no energy, overwhelmed by the situations in life? Anybody want some, like, divine life flowing through them? Nobody. Come on, raise your hands. We all do. Well, if you're feeling deflated, come to the liturgy and feast at the table of the Lord and be filled up, right? Be filled up with something that's more magnificent than you've ever imagined. We can do this because Christ has done it first and desires us to feast on him, right? He said, do this in remembrance of me. Lack nothing. Lack nothing. I desire you to be set free. And so he died and rose that we might follow in those same footsteps.